folks are still making their way in. Good to see. I'm not trying to put her on the spot, but it's just good to see Paulette coming in. She's standing upright, which is something she hadn't been able to do for quite some time. I know she's glad to. If you didn't see Paulette after her broken leg, she had the biggest brace on her leg I've ever seen on anyone, and she's got that off now, and she's with us this morning. Glad that she is. We're glad to have everybody. Good to see so many people out this morning. You might want to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 20 and verse 13 we'll use in just a moment. Proverbs 24 verses 33 and 34. We'll be reciting those passages in just a few minutes. There will be others to follow. I will give them to you before we quote them or read them. I think the directory pictures got off to a good start over the last couple of days. We appreciate John and the folks that are working with him. I hesitate to start calling names because I'm afraid I'll forget somebody. But John Hargis and the group that is working with him have done a terrific job, and we appreciate them. In my life, I have never been much of a sleeper. No doubt that has been detrimental to my health over the years. Even when I was a teenager, I used to play the radio at night. Everybody in my house is sound asleep except me, and I'm back there upstairs in the back bedroom with the radio playing. This was AM radio days, and at nighttime on AM radio, if you can't remember this, you could hear stations that were far, far away. And I used to listen to a station at night in Chicago, WLS. I listened to 89 WLS, and I'd listen to them all night sometimes when I should have been sleeping, no doubt. And even as an adult, I never really got the sleep I needed. I had to get up early and go to work. That was one thing. My girls were all ball players. And wherever they were playing, Mom and Dad were chasing along trying to watch them play. And then I had to get up early and go to work. And I don't regret that. I don't want it to sound like I'd do it differently now. I wouldn't. I would still go watch my girls play ball. But I didn't get a lot of sleep because of those late night hours and getting up early for work. And even now, and I have no explanation for this, Eddie, but at my age, I still have trouble falling asleep. For whatever reason it is not uncommon. At midnight, I'm still laying there looking at the ceiling. I don't know why I'm that way. I'd like to kick myself sometimes, but I've just never been a sleeper. The medical folks tell us adults need 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night for their good health, and our children need even more than that. And I suspect that there are a lot of us who don't get the sleep that we need. The wise man tells us in Proverbs 20 and verse 13, he says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. I think he's just telling us that sleep is good, and we need to get our sleep, sure we do, but we sleep so we can rest our bodies and get up the next day and go at it again. There just comes a time when we got to open our eyes, we got to get out of bed, and we've got to go for it. That farmer who's got the crop in the field that's ready to be harvested, the weather's good, the time is right, the crop is ready, he's got to get out there and get that crop in. Or he is risking losing the whole thing. He's just got to get up and go. Most of us probably have to get up in the morning and go to work. You want to keep your job? You want to get that payday? Got to get up and go. And even our children, if they want to get that much-needed education, they got to get up and go to school. Again, the wise man. In Proverbs 24, and starting at verse 33, he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, the folding of the hands to rest. when we do that, he says, so shall poverty come like a prowler and need like a armed man. He's just telling us sleep is good and we need to sleep, but don't be lazy. We can't sleep all the time. We got to get up and go. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is what the Apostle Paul tells us. In verse 14, Ephesians 5 in verse 14. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is telling us here to awake from our spiritual sleep. Now, we have a pretty good crowd this morning, and the weather is really bad out there. But you got yourself up, and you came to worship service anyway. That's a great thing. You deserve a pat on the back for that. Way to go. Keep up the good work. But we could be doing that and still be spiritually sound asleep, just absolutely sleepwalking through our Christian life. Let me ask you, you're familiar with these stories. Did Peter believe in Jesus when he denied three times that he knew who he was? Well, sure he did. It was Peter who said, when Jesus asked the question, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was a believer, and yet he denied knowing who Jesus was. But you know, Luke tells us that Peter heard that rooster crow, and he turned, and Jesus was looking right at him. You ever had that happen? You look around, there's somebody staring right at you. Well, in this case, it was Jesus looking at Peter. And it was a wake-up call for him. He knew right then he'd done the wrong thing. Luke says he went out and wept bitterly. When Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church, on his way to Damascus to arrest some more Christians, did he believe in God? Sure he did. And then suddenly, there's Jesus. He sees him. He hears his voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that was a wake-up call for Saul. Saul, you're a believer, but you're not doing this right. In the book of Jonah, we find God telling Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah didn't want to go. And so Jonah got on a ship and he tried to get away from God. And this is what we read in the first chapter of the book of Jonah in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners, the regular sailors, they were afraid. And every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep, even as all this is going on. And so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. A pagan here. A man who didn't even believe in the true God of heaven had to wake up God's prophet and say, hey, would you pray? We're all about to drown here. Maybe your God will save us. Would you pray to your God? Is it possible, my friends, that we could fall into such a deep spiritual sleep that someone out there, not even a Christian, not even trying to live a Christian life, but they know that our world is really in a bad shape now. They might have to come to us and say, hey, Christian, things are not going well now. Would you please pray for our country and our world? Is it possible that a non-Christian might have to remind us to pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. James says in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do we, God's children, the Lord's church, do we need to be reminded that we need to pray for our country and our world? Peter woke up and he went on and preached the first gospel sermon. Saul of Tarsus woke up. He listened to his instructions. Jesus said, Saul, go on into the city and there you'll be told what to do. Well, he went. And when Ananias came to him, he said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. He didn't wait around. He did it right then. Jonah, well, he had to be swallowed by a great fish. But when that fish spit him out on dry land, he went to Nineveh and he preached. And you know what? Nineveh repented. Do we need, those of us who profess to be Christians, members of the Lord's body, do we need somebody to give us a good shake? Wake up, Christian! The church needs you! The world needs you, Christian! Wake up! In 1 Peter 5:8, 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, Peter wrote, he said, be sober and be vigilant. That is, be on guard and be watchful. Be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be awake and be alert and be on guard as we make our way through the world and be trying to teach those that are lost. There's a passage in the book of Isaiah. We never read this verse. Some of you probably have never even heard it. But I like this verse because of the way Isaiah words it. In Isaiah 56 and in verse 10, this is what he says. Isaiah 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Isaiah is not being kind here. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping and lying down, loving to slumber. We cannot be sleeping dogs. False doctrine is being preached in our world every day, and people are being led astray by it. You know, just thought of this. A couple of days ago, I had my phone and I was just skimming YouTube just to see if there was anything on there I might be interested in. You know, I was doing like this, you know, going pretty quick. But I came across something, I noticed the title, and it caught my attention. Now the title was, and notice this title now. The title was Satan's 10 Worst Evangelists. Whoa, Satan's evangelist? And so, I had to look at that. I had to know who was on that list. I was kind of hoping my name wouldn't be on there anywhere. As it turned out, it was ministers at the mega churches. Some of the, we call them the televangelists. That's who was on this list. I have no idea who put it together. No idea who considered these 10 to be Satan's evangelist. Now, at first, I was thinking that's a little harsh, calling them Satan's evangelist. But you know, then I began to think about it, looking over those men, and I was familiar with most of them. I was thinking to myself, not a one of those guys is teaching the whole gospel. Not a one of them is preaching all of God's Word. In fact, some of them are barely preaching God's Word at all. And so I thought, well, if they're not preaching God's Word, who are they working for? false doctrine is being preached and it's leading people astray. We can't be sleeping dogs and miss that. And even in the Lord's church, I'm sorry to say, congregations are getting away from the New Testament pattern. I do not say that proudly. I say it with tears almost. Congregations are getting away from the New Testament pattern, and we need to be awake to those things. And there are folks in the world, especially if you watch the news, there are folks in their arrogance. They see themselves as being so smart. They scoff at God and scoff at God's Word, and they make light of it. And we in the Lord's church won't even bark. We close our eyes and go back to sleep. Pretend like it's not happening. Does God want us to speak out against those things? Does He want us to take a stand for His Word? I believe that we would all say that He does. And so we've got to be willing to do a little barking here. We've got to be willing to say, hey, that may be the law of the land, but it's contrary to God's Word. We've got to be willing to say, that might be what everybody's doing, but it's contrary to God's Word. We've got to be willing to bark a little bit and speak out and take a stand for God's Word. But going to sleep on the job can happen even to the best of us. Look with me at Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and in verse 32. Then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, sit here while I pray. And He took Peter and James and John with Him. And He began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Jesus is about to be arrested and crucified, and He knows it. And He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. And He came and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again He went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when He returned, He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer Him. Then He came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. Are we sleeping when we should be watching and praying? We used to sing that old song, and I don't know if it's even in the newer books anymore, but many of you remember it. Watch and pray, for the Lord is coming, coming in the clouds someday. Wash your robes in the cleansing fountain. Watch, oh watch, and pray. And that's what Jesus said to His disciples here. And that's what we need to be doing. I had a baseball coach when I was a kid. He used to yell at us from the dugout. He'd say, wake up out there. Now we had our eyes open. What he meant was pay attention. What he meant was watch what's going on. Have we noticed? Bradley mentioned this in the prayer there just a minute ago. Have we noticed the people that are on our sick list, and we have a long one? Do we listen to the announcements? Do we look in the bulletin for those who need our prayers and need our support? And what about the folks who just need some encouragement? They just need a good word. They just need a kind word spoken to them. Have we even noticed that? Are we watching? Are we paying attention? Did you see the story a couple of weeks ago? It was back in December, I think. Airline pilot. He gets the plane in the air and he puts it on autopilot, which is probably standard procedure. Nothing wrong with that. He went to sleep and he flew right past the airport that he was supposed to land at. Are we on autopilot? Are we asleep? If we are, our Bible alarm is going off. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. So do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Many of us have probably tried to drive late at night. You ever tried to drive all night? I've tried it a few times. Not a good idea. Maybe drive very early in the morning when you're still sleepy. It's so easy to, you've got the steering wheel in your hand, but you're doing this. It's easy to do that, but it's also very dangerous. Is it possible that some of us, even right now at this very moment, are asleep at the wheel as we're making our way through the world? That song that we were talking about, there's another verse that goes, when He comes, He'll reward the faithful. What a glorious day it will be. Joy awaits those who have made ready. Watch. Oh, watch and pray. Have we been faithful? Have we made ready? I hope that the answer to that is yes. But if you are spiritually asleep this morning, you can answer your wake-up call. If you've never obeyed the gospel, Paul said there in the book of Romans, hey, it's high time. High time to wake up and do what you need to do. Remember that in his own conversion, Ananias said to him, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. If you've never done that, this morning it is high time for you to obey the gospel. Perhaps you have obeyed the gospel at some point in your life, but you know now you've been sleepwalking. And so you have not been faithful. You have not made ready for that great day. You've not been watching and praying the way you should. And it's caused you to fall away. If that is the case, respond to the invitation this morning. Ask for the prayers of the faithful and be restored. While we stand and sing.